Welcome to On Mission, brought to you by Catholic Apostolic Center. Today we are joined by Father Frank, Kate, and Chris, and we are talking about how one can stay on mission during the COVID-19 crisis.
I was on the phone with my mother, and now I talk with my mother regularly. I mean, I am a good son of an Italian-American mother, and so, you know, I have to be in contact with my mother on a regular basis. But I find myself calling my mother more right now because she's alone in the house that I grew up from when I was 3 years old in, and then my brothers, that's the only house that they knew until they moved away. And she's there, and she's been there on her own ever since my father died almost 10 years ago. But she's a very active person. And for her to be kind of in, and she's been fine with being in with all the situation of COVID-19. And yet I find that I call her more. I call her probably every other day and sometimes every day, depending on what's going on. And I find that my brothers are doing a similar thing. And I just find it that remotely, that's just all I can do, being, you know, a couple hundred miles away and knowing that I can't even go inside the house at this point. And I find that that's been really important to me right now, to find ways to reach out to people from where I am. And it's been trying to be creative about that. I mean, I don't, you know, Chris, Kate, what have you been up to?
I've seen a lot of people, what you've seen in the news, a lot of people visiting their elderly relatives, whether they're parents or grandparents, aunts and uncles, you know, trying to wave to them from the street or go up to a window. We've seen images of folks playing games through screen doors, things like that. Personally, I've been reaching out to friends through you know, electronic means, FaceTiming and Zoom casts and Google Hangouts, things like that. Things that I honestly never really had any interest in using before, in the before time, and now suddenly we are all very adept at Google Hangouts and doing all these things that, you know, we would have never only used maybe in business purposes before. So that, to me, that's been very interesting. And of course, people using it not just to communicate, to ask how you're doing or what are you cooking or, you know, how's it going, but more also to, I mean, I've seen on local listservs emails about prayer, you know, circles and Bible studies being done this way. And it's a very interesting way of adapting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pope Francis said recently that what we need right now is a creativity of love in order to get through this. And I think that both of you mentioned a lot of examples of what that looks like, this creative love, this reaching out to people that we're all called to do as Christians. We call it accompaniment. And it's something that has been discussed very much over the last few years in the church and with the papacy of Pope Francis and with the recent synod on young adults and vocational discernment and the faith. And so it's funny that it takes a crisis like this for us to come up with these creative ways of reaching out to one another, and how these creative means are exploding right now. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend and she said that they called their friends who are in Virginia, who they hardly are able to see being in Maryland, driving the hour or so across state lines. And just, you know, they were saying how little they used to see them. But now that we're in quarantine and we're staying at home, they've been able to FaceTime and have almost like online virtual play dates. And it's funny that crisis is what makes us think outside the box. But here we are, and we're seeing just so many beautiful ways that people are staying in touch with one another. And I mean, it's been really humbling and beautiful to see.
I think also the people that we may be with. I mean, I belong to a religious community, the Palatine Fathers and Brothers, and in my local community. Now, normally at Green Hill, we have a larger group of people, usually 4, 6, 9 in community. But at the moment, we are kind of in between. We'll have some additional people who were supposed to come, probably not now, supposed to come in the summer, and one to stay for an entire year. And then I'm here with my community member, Father Lou, and we find that's really been the rhythm of our life as a belonging to a religious community of prayer and mass times and meal times and things like that. That's really been helpful to have that kind of opportunity to accompany one another within the house, rather than going really individualistic. You know, we have our own time and things that we do and whatever. But I noticed that he's also reaching out to people. He's been picking up the phone, calling a number of people from ministries he had been previously in. And I find, you know, that we talk about that and how those people are doing and praying for them and so forth. You know, we've also been having these prayer intentions coming in. That's another way to accompany people too, is through our prayer for other people and things that we might find out about. And whether it's in a kind of global way, or also things that are very, you know, a lot of people who have contacted me about relatives and friends and people they know who have become sick and from the virus and just other things, general life things. And that's another way I think we can also accompany people. But, you know, you've got, you know, Kate and Chris, you know, you've got, you're both married. Kate, you have 2 kids, and Chris, you have an infant. So this is an interesting time. I mean, for you as families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad it's spring. I'm so glad that it's warm weather and that we're still able to be outside a lot of the day and that there's plenty of sunshine. We've gone on so many family walks and just had a lot of those small rituals that are really good for family bonding. And I see so many people in our neighborhood doing the same, of course, being sure to do so with social distance. But I can't remember the last time I've seen so many families, you know, not just one parent, but the entire family, all of the kids going out on walks and just, you know, coming up with things to do as a family that, you know, previously everyone was so busy with extracurriculars and school and just all the activities that we find ourselves in. This has really been a chance to slow down and be present to one another. That's also brought a lot of challenges too, and the need for flexibility, especially in families. Flexibility with, you know, those that are working from home, their work schedules, some people with older kids who still have to do schoolwork have to navigate that. And yeah, it just requires a lot of flexibility and patience. I can say very honestly that my patience has been tried a lot, coming up with creative ways to spend the day and to differentiate one day from another and to still have, like, you know, a sacred Sunday, and to, yeah, just to differentiate each day from one another. So it has had its challenges, definitely. But what has really grounded me throughout this time is a solid prayer life and turning to God throughout this time to guide my day. And then, like we've been talking about, reaching out to others. I think that's so important. It's easy to get isolated and to feel alone, but it's also really easy to pick up the phone or send a text or start a video call with our friends. And technology today enables us to do that.
Yeah, I think I sit here and I am happy in some ways and frustrated in others to be spending so much time at home. One of the the differences between Kate and I's families at this point is, you know, as Father mentioned, we have an infant. And so on the one hand, it's been a great time for me and my wife to be home with him together, which would not have been the case. My wife actually just ended her maternity leave, but it doesn't really feel like that since she's a teacher and working from home now. And, you know, had we not been in this situation, you know, we would have had to have come up with all these plans and things and about how do we make sure that our baby's still cared for and all that. And obviously we're both home. It would be great to be more outside. And we try to do that as much as possible too. But on the other hand, it is nice to just be together. I think it's something that, at least in my life, I felt that I'm constantly on the go and would leave to go to work at, you know, 8, 9 in the morning and come back sometimes 6 or 7. And then you only have so many hours to spend in that kind of relaxation time. And now, you know, and your entire day can be relaxation time if you plan it right. Which is, you know, is something I think when we come out of this, I hope that many of us remember kind of the silver lining, if we can say that, about all of this, and still, connect with our prayer life. As Kate said, I've seen so many people come out of the woodwork, or B, just try all these new ways of engaging in their faith. And so I hope that that continues. And B, I hope that the time that we have seen be so important to spend with family and friends during these times of isolation and social distancing, I hope that after this, and there will be an after, that we continue to look back and say, oh, I liked that, and I want to continue to move forward doing that.
And your wife, Chrissy, she has a blog post on our COVID-19 resources that was one of the first ones that we put there, one of the first articles about, you know, the things that can be done in terms of parents and teaching and so forth when you have these kids, and particularly the smaller kids. But there's a flexibility that goes with all that. In while there's a schedule, it's not like being, you know, when a child's in school or in a more structured environment. And that's the thing of being gentle with one another too, and accompanying one another. Mm-hmm. I think there's a whole other piece of it too that I've been doing a lot of thinking about are the people who are living alone. And that's a real challenge for a number of people. Or maybe if they have tensions with the people they're living with.
Well, and it's not just the elderly that are living alone too. No. I think that's another thing people forget. It's our friends. It's yes. Folks that are, you know, just out of college and maybe are in their first apartment or have moved away from home to follow a career and are finding themselves now in perhaps in a city or an area or an industry where they, you know, they're alone and they don't have that connection. It's important to remember them and reach out.
Yeah, I've been kind of sporadically just sending texts to friends all over the country to try to get a pulse of how everyone's doing. People on the West Coast, people out in Colorado from my grad school days, people in New York itself. And just kind of say, you know, it can be easy as how are you? How are things going? Are you okay? You know, just really brief check-ins. Or they could be, you know, like we've been saying, as complex as these video hangouts that I've had with up to 10, 15 friends. That's been so refreshing to me, especially because my husband and I are very social people, and we think that one of our charisms as a couple is hospitality. And so I've for sure have been thinking about how can I continue this charism of hospitality, even though I can't see people. And we've also been thinking about doing what that means as a family. And so the other day, my children and I spent the day working on handmade cards that we are making for the Little Sisters of the Poor here in the Washington, D.C. area for their residents. So how can we accompany, you know, people that are isolated or the elderly and reach out to them, you know, in concrete ways? You know, can we drop off food at food banks? Can we buy a gift certificate to a local restaurant that may be struggling? Can we send somebody groceries or, you know, money towards their rent? Because people are in a lot of different stages of life right now and facing a lot of different difficulties, whether it's fear or anxiety, or whether it's just being uncomfortable with the lack of control and the need for flexibility, or whether it's they don't know where they're getting their next paycheck or when the next meal will be on the table. So I think what's interesting during this time is that everyone is experiencing the pandemic differently. People that are, you know, at the forefront, for example, are their reality is just very different from maybe mine. And so those are important things to think about when we're praying about how we can accompany people. I was also thinking about how what we were just saying, that some people are single right now and at home by themselves, or you have families with young children, or you have families with teenagers, or you have, you know, retired couples. You know, all of those vocations and stages of life will be facing this time differently. And so how can we come up with creative ways of reaching out to each of those people that we know, whether they be in our own family, in our own neighborhood, or, you know, across the country?
And I think it's also important to reach out to priests and religious and seminarians,
yes,
people who are in formation in religious communities, because this is affecting them quite significantly. I know seminarians who have been sent off to rectories, and because their seminaries have been closed, and or they're quarantined in where whatever seminary they may find themselves in. Or priests sometimes who are feeling a great deal of pressure at this time. And their whole world has been turned upside down, especially when looking at the whole celebrations of the Triduum and Easter and so forth, as everyone's life has been. But these church, the limitation of not being able to say public masses, still saying mass, but not being able to say public masses, some places able to hear confession, other places not. The tensions that are within sometimes, and the need then to reach out, just simply for even for parishioners to reach out to their priest and say, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, thank you for what you're doing in the midst of this challenging time. And something as simple as that can really be important, but even more so would be prayer for them. As they're trying to find ways to pastorally care for people in the midst of a, you know, just a very difficult time. You know, people who in the normal course of life, you know, have had a loved one who's died, or about, you know, I've also had ordinations that have been postponed and weddings that are being postponed and funerals that have virtually no one there. And there's nothing within the church. It's a really challenging time and an opportunity to do the apostolate of accompaniment, which any baptized person can do, to be able to just walk with people, not physically, not possible right now, but at least to walk with them through the other means, which, you know, even, you know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had in the same way.
Yes, I've been blown away by what I've seen from the church and our church leaders and priests in their creativity too, with accompanying their flocks, their parishioners, the greater church. In our own parish, our priest, who had previously very little to no experience online, has created a YouTube account, and started with doing gospel, daily gospel reflections on the readings with a short homily, and has now developed, you know, enough, it has become familiar enough with all of these tools to do live stream masses every day, live stream adoration periodically. And it's just, it's been wonderful to see how the church is responding and how strongly and beautifully it's responding. I've also seen communities or retreat centers starting to offer online virtual retreats or conferences. And so it's just, it really is accompaniment of the greater church that we're seeing as well. And that's been so edifying to me personally, to see my own parish priests giving a reflection to my community online has been really powerful. And then just seeing all of these other creative ways of reaching out in the church has been wonderful.
And Chris, you've been coordinating our response as a center, and it's really been just tremendous to see the way how people have just stepped up with a single ask. I mean, what have you seen in that?
Yeah, people, I think they are looking for the right outlet to express themselves. And, you know, it's so easy, of course, to tweet your frustration or to tweet your celebration or to post on social media. But I think what I have seen is that people do want the opportunity to talk long form about how they're feeling, how they're being affected by this. It's an opportunity for people to do a lot of self-reflection on how am I getting through this? How is my family getting through this? How is my church getting through this? And we have several articles or blog posts on our resource page that we will continue to update throughout this time that focus on, you know, what is it like to be a college student that has found their lives turned upside down and is now taking their classes from home, have been sent away from their residential community? What is it like to be a professional campus minister right now with no campus to minister to? How do you continue on to do your job in a virtual way? What is it like to be a mother or a teacher, a seminarian? These are some of the voices that we've been able to gather, as Father said, quite easily, because I think people are in that mode of self-reflection and want to share their story. So I encourage the folks that are listening now to visit our resource page at CatholicApostolateCenter.org and check out these stories. We're well on the way to having more than a dozen of these easy to digest stories, and encourage you to share them on your feeds as well.
One of the challenging things that as well are the people who are having great anxiety or maybe even depression as a result of this situation, and which accompaniment there are also, there's the outreach that can happen with mental health professionals, but just that caring presence that people can have and to another person who may well be having a great struggle with this whole situation, even more than usual in terms of these types of situations. Each person is going to respond to these things differently at different times. And there's the spiritual piece, which is important and necessary, and Christ's presence and the hope that comes from that to get through really anything. But there's also then that, which we have a number of resources, and especially with our partner SLI Connect, St. Luke Institute, in the assistance in terms of the, you know, yeah, there's a natural anxiety that's going on with something that doesn't have a vaccine, that's invisible. and that one doesn't know who might be caring and who might not be. And so there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with that, that is just that's normal. But that can really, especially if a person doesn't have an outlet to talk with another person, that can really just eat at a person within. And so whatever ways that we can also reach out to people, particularly if they're really starting to isolate, it's important to do that.
Yeah, I host a weekly women's reflection group. And at the onset of the pandemic, you know, I canceled the first meeting during that time. And then several of the women reached out to me and said, can we move our discussion online? And I said, absolutely. I can't believe I hadn't thought about that. I was all ready to just give up. And that I have found has been incredibly fruitful too during this time, to have a consistent check-in with anywhere from 5 to 10 other women who are all thinking about how to maintain our faith and how to live our lives of faith during this time and in our vocations. And it was just such a reprieve for me to have that space. And one of the women was sharing that something happened that made her sad that was unrelated to the coronavirus. And she just, it was something that made her sad, but her reaction was just so much greater than it would have been normally. And she just broke down and she said, oh my gosh, I had all of these feelings that I was unaware of that I was carrying. And so sometimes people just need that, an outlet to speak and to discuss, for them to even be processing what's going on. A lot of us don't even know how to say what we're feeling. And so having regular check-ins with people can be really helpful. And the other thing that I have found helpful in accompanying personally my family has been just being present to them during this time and really making sure that I'm putting technology down. Because we've talked about all of the beautiful ways that technology can be used to connect us with one another. But during this time, I've also found that it can be a very big temptation for me that draws me away from my family, that turns me in towards myself, that gets my mind racing. Because with our 24-hour news cycles, with all of the updates that are coming out, all of people's commentaries on everything, there's so much. And it can be really tempting to say, I need to be completely informed 24/7. I need to know what's going on. And I was doing that at the very beginning, and I just found that my peace was totally gone. And I was frustrated, and I was easily annoyed. And anytime one of my sons needed something, I would be frustrated that they needed something. And so I really had to take a step back and say, you know what, I'm going to have 1 to 2 times a day where I'm checking in on the news and on just updates and on all of the texts that I'm part of. And that has been very helpful too. And so, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that too, in terms of accompaniment, of being present to your own needs, but also to those of those around you. And by sometimes choosing when to limit your access to technology in the online world.
There are many resources that we've put together related to all of this as a way of our accompanying. That was our response and continues to be and will be for the foreseeable future. And in doing that, Chris had mentioned the articles. There's podcasts and webinars that we have already developed and are developing, as well as just a collation of all sorts of resources and articles and different things from other sources as well, because it looks like this is going to be for a while that we're going to be in this situation. And so the need to be able to persevere, I think that's one of the other things with this kind of accompaniment. It's persevering and having kind of a patient, as St. Paul would say, patient endurance in the midst of this. And that's not going to come strictly from human resources. That's going to come from the divine. That's going to come from Christ, and he's going to give us then the strength when we call upon him to be able to have that perseverance. But it also is in and through the body of Christ, the church, and not just simply church as building or a church as certain people who do, but every baptized person to be responsible for the other, for our brothers and sisters who we don't necessarily see that much, or maybe we saw them on a very regular basis, but to be able to go a bit of the extra mile, and know that we're not alone in that Christ is with us. Christ is walking there with us, and at times Christ is carrying us. And that may sound like, you know, the old footprint story, but I think it's very true. In fact, I know it's very true. And that's something that's critically important at this time for us to recognize as people of faith, because for some people, this is also shaking their faith. And so we need to accompany them. Then there are other people for whom faith is now, gee, like, what about that? And a single post, for example, or a phone call could lead to, or a text could lead to, a whole conversation of a person who might be experiencing an awakening in faith or a reawakening.
So we've got a ton more resources and podcasts, webinars, articles, links to all kinds of things that you would find relevant during this crisis on our website at catholicapostolatecenter.org. Just click on the COVID-19 resources page. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'll have a couple more podcasts coming out during this time, but also we've got a archive of podcasts that you should go back and listen to. Some of them are very relevant for this time and place. We've got a playlist on our resource page as well of them. And be sure to share this if you found it interesting and helpful with a friend on your social media, and give us a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice.
Thank you again for listening to On Mission, a podcast brought to you by the Catholic Apostolic Center. Be sure to like, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information on these and other topics, please be sure to visit us at www.catholicapostolicenter.org.